Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I thought we would do an update today. How are we doing in protecting unborn children in the womb as we have entered now 2026? I want to introduce to you an expert in the subject. This is Brian Gibson. Hi, Brian.
Good to be with you. Thank
Brian,
you.
Brian is part of a group called Pro-Life Action Ministries. And a few years ago, the Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic opened 2 minutes from my house. I feel like I'm driving by Auschwitz every day. But God bless Brian and the people out in front. As women go in to get abortions, they're out in front peacefully praying, handing out literature if they'll take it. So thank you, Brian.
Sure.
I love that those people are out there. But so, Brian, we're going to start and just talk about what are the present defeats, victories, how's it going? How many babies have we killed in America now? And do you see anything turning around? So this is an important program. If you're thinking of having an abortion or you know someone who is, please don't touch that dial and let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for America. We have gone, we're more liberal on abortion than Europe. And Lord, we would pray that you would turn this nation from its sin, all the premarital sex that causes the pregnancies that bring about the abortion. Lord, we're just kind of in a moral sewer now with our entertainment, the pornography, the just sex outside of marriage. God, have mercy on America. And we would pray that you'd forgive us of our sin. Anyone watching this program who's having sex outside of marriage, just bring them to repentance. But God, we pray that you speak to us now in this half hour about the importance of children, born and unborn. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Brian, before we do an interview, I always like to ask the interviewee, that's you, how did you come to know Christ?
Well, actually, I grew up knowing Christ in a very faithful family. And, of course, as many do, in, at least in our era, As I went into my late teens and early 20s, getting out of high school into college, I strayed. Mm-hmm. But in my, before, I think I was about 23 or 24, just had a very powerful conversion experience and came back to Christ in a far greater way than I had been with him before.
Great.
So, yeah.
And then
lots
you,
of Holy Spirit.
All right. So. And then you have been doing this pro-life ministry for 40 years, is that what?
Well, actually longer. So the organization started in 1981.
Okay.
And I became an early volunteer. So I've been volunteering with Pro-Life Action Ministry since by the summer of 1981.
Okay.
And that coincided with my conversion.
Oh.
My coming to Christ.
Oh,
so
it did.
They came to almost simultaneously, and because I recognized that this was where God wanted me to efforts.
Yeah, that's the question. So, how did you, because you, this is a very specific calling of God on your life to do this ministry.
Yes.
How did you know that that's where you were supposed to serve God?
I just did, I think. I don't know if there's a better answer than that.
Okay.
In prayer, in getting active and doing the work, standing up, the opportunity to be present outside abortion facilities and say, this is wrong, mm-hmm. this is evil, life is too precious, we need to save lives. All of that just gelled in my heart and my spirit, and of course Scripture just overwhelmed
there
that understanding as well, so it just in every direction it was
right.
there, and
good.
Doesn't go away.
Well, let's get into the update then. Brian, recently there was something in the news, could you explain it to me, that sadly the Trump administration allowed some abortion pill to go through that we should have kiboshed, but we didn't. Do you know that? Tell me the story.
Yeah, just kind of the backstory on it is that this abortion pill, mifepristone, has been allowed by the FDA since 2000. In 2016 and then in 2020, the regulations or the controls over how it's used were loosened each time. 2020 was just terribly loosened. Under the Biden administration in 2022 or 23, they actually almost lifted all the REMS altogether. Yeah, mail order, all this stuff is going on with the abortion pill. So the pro-life movement has made great strides in getting the Trump administration, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s at HHS, and then I'm trying to remember the man's name who's at the FDA right at the moment. I'm not thinking of it, but they're willing to do a full review of the safety. Now this is for the women, not for the children, because it's meant to kill babies.
Yeah,
but it's very dangerous for women, and under certain circumstances, deadly for women. And so trying to get that reevaluated, and we're hearing from the administration, we're going to do it. And then all of a sudden we hear, wait a minute, they just approved the generic version of this.
Oh, no.
And so everybody's questioning the administration, why? Why is this happening out of the FDA?
Do we know?
Well, the explanation coming from Kennedy is that it was already in the process, and legally he was bound to allow it to go forward, that he didn't have the legal capabilities of stopping it, and then he wanted to say, we are still going to do a full and complete review of the safety.
So it's not quite a dead issue yet?
Not at all a dead issue.
Okay, good.
So,
and let's talk about this. It used to be if a woman wanted an abortion, she'd go to the abortion clinic and the doctor would destroy the baby. Now we've got this abortion pill that a woman can just take at home. Is that outnumbered the regular way of doing abortion?
Well, okay. There's a couple dynamics with it. The abortion pill method of aborting babies has become overwhelmingly the most common form of abortion.
Mm.
So we're talking somewhere around 70-75% across the United States.
Really?
So I'm hearing 60-65 sometimes, but some of these numbers are old from a couple years ago.
Okay.
So it's somewhere in this range.
Uh-huh.
So it's well past halfway that abortions are being done by abortion pill. Now, many of those abortions are still starting inside an abortion facility, where the woman will go to the abortion facility, have an ultrasound done to verify the pregnancy and gestational age of the baby. The pill's not supposed to be taken after a certain point gestationally, so if it's after that, they're not supposed to be doing the abortion pill, though. That gets fudged often enough. But they would take the first medication, the first pill, in office and take the second round of pills at home.
But isn't that what they threw out now?
Well,
you don't even have to do that anymore?
Well, they threw that out, that you have to abide by that, but most women still like to see somebody in person.
Okay.
Now, what is happening, though, is that there is now a percentage of abortions that are being done by mail order entirely. And there's even situations, and we've had it verified, where the woman, there's no verification that it's even a woman they're talking to. And they send out the abortion pills.
So how does this work? We are in Minnesota, one of the most pro-abortion states in the country. You can have an abortion right up to the day of delivery in Minnesota. And if the baby is born alive, survives the abortion, the doctor is not required by law to keep it alive.
Correct. That's
Minnesota. But let's say that we lived in Texas or Tennessee. I think those are much more restrictive. Is there any way Texas and Tennessee could prevent the abortion pill to be mailed in to their states?
Well, they're trying to. They're not succeeding entirely, but to some degree they are. So there's a very large case that came out of New York where the New York abortionist actually sent abortion pills into Texas to a woman. They're also into Louisiana. Both those states have sued to try and deal with this. The Texas Attorney General actually made it a civil case because the Attorney General in New York refused to allow criminal charges to be brought. So they refused that, so they brought a civil case against this and won by default against the abortion doctor in New York. Hmm. Now they're trying to collect the money. That seems to have put a fairly good halt to this process happening. But on the other hand, there's still the internet stuff where it's shady whether doctors are even involved, you know, and stuff like that. And I've heard of plenty of cases where women are still getting abortion pills in places like Texas.
But in Minnesota, you can do whatever you want. So let me ask you, and the tragedy is, here is a 10-week old unborn baby?
Yeah, depending upon how you're calling the age of the child. So, and this can be confusing. I'll try and make it as clear as possible.
Yeah.
So there's what's called the gestational age. So a normal pregnancy is a 40-week gestation for a woman.
Okay.
So that's, and they mark that from when she knows her last menstrual period was, okay? But women don't become pregnant at that date. They become pregnant like 2 weeks later.
Okay.
So we mark gestation from the last menstrual period. So when they're talking about, the abortion facilities are talking about it, and when we're talking about it in law, and they're saying, well, it's 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, they're talking gestational age, okay?
Okay.
Now, the actual conception date 2 weeks later means that's an 8 week baby.
Okay.
Okay. So it depends on how you're calling. So that baby is 8 weeks old.
Okay.
If you're talking about actual age.
Okay.
If you're talking gestation, it's 10 weeks.
Gotcha. And what most abortions are done when?
Most of them are being done between 6 and 12 weeks, 13 weeks gestation.
So when they look
gestation.
Like this.
Yeah,
they look
that's
like
right
this.
In the zone. Right.
Okay.
Most often.
And what of the 50 states? There's a few, like us, have no restrictions whatsoever. I think New York is like that, too. How many states now have done pro-life laws?
Well, it keeps fluctuating because there's been pushes to undo pro-life laws in many of the pro-life states. So I think right now we're looking at 13 or 14 states that have either very strict restrictions on abortion or have completely banned it.
Okay.
So.
How many years ago did Roe versus Wade fall? What year was that?
1973.
No, that's when it started.
That's old. When 2022.
So it's only 4 years since it was overthrown?
This summer it'll be 4 years.
Okay,
yes.
And let's talk about in this year, 2026, tell me the good news about what's going on and tell me what the bad news is.
Well, the good news is that, and we're finding this in some really interesting research, is that women really want to have in-person contact, which makes it, these internet mail order things aren't going as well as the abortion movement wanted them to go.
Good.
And that's good news. We do have the FDA looking at whether these things should be allowed to happen the way they are. If they go back to the restrictions that were in the year 2000 when it was first allowed, that cuts the abortion pill down to now 10-12% instead of 60-70%.
So that is possible
that
might
deal.
Is it possible that might happen?
It's in the realm.
Okay.
It's in the realm.
Okay.
We have other, funding for abortion. In 2025 we watched funding for Planned Parenthood be cut because they, from their Medicaid funding, a big portion of their
that
federal
money.
That
was good news.
Very big news, very big amount of money. And we watch Planned Parenthood's closing, which is always good news.
Oh, that, yeah.
We watch.
Around the country.
Yeah, we watch them having to let people go from their
wonderful
facilities. Again, it's always very good when that's happening. So that's good. It's a bright spot.
And
it's a long way to go. And that's the bad news. The bad news is,
yeah,
states have doubled down on abortion around the country. They have, like in our state, we passed a law that makes abortion a right, so-called right through all 9 months of pregnancy. You can't restrict it. Cities and towns can't pass ordinances to keep it out of their towns. Things like that. Women are being invited from other states where abortion is restricted to come and have their abortions here,
Minnesota,
Illinois, New York, California, places like that, New Mexico. So those are happening, and the number of abortions haven't gone down a great number yet, but they have gone down some.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Nationwide,
speaking. Right.
They've increased here and in other states.
Now, some liberals in the church are saying, well, the Bible teaches you're not a human being until you draw your first breath outside the womb. This is kind of a new thing in the last few years. I've been hearing this. How do you respond to that?
Well, they should learn how to read the Bible.
Amen.
That's the first point.
Yeah.
The only place in the Bible that it talks about God breathing into somebody and their life beginning is Adam.
Yeah. And he was not an unborn child.
Exactly. He was not in the womb because he was formed in a unique, special way that God designed to form the first human beings was Adam and Eve. And so breathing life into him is only unique and only for Adam and Eve. That's it. After that, I mean, they're the only ones that could be the first to sin in the Garden of Eden, too. None of the rest of us get to sit in the Garden of Eden.
And so,
we have the consequences of it, but we don't get to go do it.
So I want to say that for the people watching the show, get out a pen and paper, because when people say that, I want you to, I'm just going to quickly read a few verses. Write these down. Isaiah 49, the Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. Isaiah 49, now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant. Isaiah 44, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. The most famous one is Psalm 139. You, Lord, form me in my inward parts. You have woven me in my mother's womb. I won't read the whole psalm, but just there are scriptures that teach. One more. Jeremiah 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and called you to be a prophet. So when they say, you're not a human until you get out of the womb and take your first breath, you go ahead and mention Luke.
You missed my favorite, though.
Yeah, you go.
Wait, so let's go to the New Testament.
There you go.
Also,
I know what you're going to
say. So the Old Testament's covered with this. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But let's go to the New Testament. Let's talk about Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
So here we're in Luke chapter 1. Is the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you know, God has chosen you, and you're going to name the baby Jesus, after she says yes to that. And so then she leaves, and it says in haste, mm-hmm. in most translations, or very close to immediately, to go visit her cousin, who the angel is saying is 6 months pregnant. And she gets to the house of Elizabeth, and before even seeing Elizabeth, she calls out. Elizabeth hears her, and John the Baptist, who's a six-month-old fetus, leaps for joy at the presence of the embryonic Jesus, who is fully human and fully God.
And it says that little John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb.
From his mother's womb.
So if an unborn child can have the Holy Spirit, we don't kill that child.
Right. And if an unborn child can recognize another unborn child as the Lord and Savior of the world,
right?
So I think the scriptures are just overwhelming. To try and find a way to deny that is just another way of denying God.
Now, what do you say to the people? But you want to force a 12-year-old girl who's been raped by her father? They bring up. I'm going to tell you what I would say, and I want your response. Rape, incest, life of the mother. You want to ban all that? I would say, okay, I personally don't believe in abortion for those reasons. But let's say, for the sake of our nation, we restrict abortion to rape, incest, life of the mother. They don't want that. They're using that as a red herring to get the camel's nose under the tent for any abortion on the planet.
Right.
So it's a disingenuous.
Right.
So what would you say?
Well, if somebody comes to me and says that, I start with that same question. You know, when they say, well, what about rape and incest, the life of the mother, whatever it might be, that triad that they created abortion on in the first place, my first response is, well, are you willing to limit abortion to those reasons?
And they never say
yes. And of course not. So then from there it is, a human life is a human life, period.
Mm-hmm.
And the manner or the means in which conception takes place does not mitigate who that human being is. It's still a human being.
Yeah.
Also, we also know that those who are raped and have abortions actually suffer worse consequences emotionally and spiritually than those who are raped and have the child. Those who have raped and have the child are saying that they are able to overcome the trauma of the rape far easier, far quicker, far better than if they had the abortion.
I remember Woman coming up after service, Pastor Brock, and we pray, burst into tears. I had an abortion years ago, and I can't get over the guilt of it. And I put my hand on her head. I announced that through Christ, your sins are forgiven. But it does a number of on people. And I love that there's, isn't there kind of a new movement of, I am a rape baby, of women, young women now, that whose mothers decided, I'm going to keep this child, and the child is now happy that mom didn't abort her.
Right, right. And in the, we see that, and then coinciding right next to that are those who survived abortions and lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one out there. And so we got these two very, very powerful testimonies coming from groups of people coming forward.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Now, if somebody's had an abortion and they're trying to get over the guilt of it, there's a ministry called Rachel's Vineyard. Can you explain what that is?
It's one of many what we would call post-abortion programs that are out there. Mm-hmm. These are programs that are put together originally from people who themselves have gone through the healing process of having been through an abortion, men and women both, because men suffer when they've had their involvement in pushing a woman to abort their child and so forth. So they're purposefully Christian. They call people to forgiveness in Christ, but they also work through the unique issues that are there when you've been involved in having somebody killed or helping that happen. So, very powerful.
Is it like a weekend they go to? Or?
Well, there's many different versions. Some of it is more ongoing.
Okay.
Over many weeks. Some are just a retreat type thing over a weekend or two.
Okay.
All have ongoing presence. It's get together, come to Christ, get before God. It's get the healing, and then come to understand the forgiveness you have to have for yourself too.
Yes, that's right.
And many of them encourage naming of the child, having special prayer services in honor of the baby, things like that.
So if people need that, Google Rachel's Vineyard Ministry.
Yeah.
And I want to just say, if you're thinking about an abortion, don't do it. Have the baby. Keep it or give it up for adoption, but don't kill it. And if you have had the abortion, come to the Lord, ask Christ to forgive you and forgive yourself, and then move on. Yeah.
Well, and maybe one last thought on that is we don't look condemnatory upon those who have had abortions. We look upon them as we do anyone else, someone who needs to know Christ, as I need to know Christ.
We're all sinners.
And so it's with care and concern, not with condemnation.
Good, good. You know, let's ask you this, Brian. You've been doing this ministry for 40 plus years, and it's been, I'm pro-life, but I'm not on the front battle like, well, I was when I was in my liberal denomination, but how do you persevere and not get discouraged when it seems like the whole world is against you? What do you personally do to keep serving the Lord in your difficult ministry?
You know, I don't have a pat answer to that.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of things. I think the most important part of that is prayer, of course. Not just personal prayer, but a lot of people praying for
Amen.
Me as well.
Amen.
Corporate prayer, getting together with like-minded and praying together. So lots of opportunities to pray. And, of course, that's our whole ministry is calling people to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, that's probably the most. But the calling is there too, and it's
you don't stop
the consolation of God.
Yeah, and I can't stop doing what I'm doing until the Lord says time to stop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If he ever says that.
That's
right. I know there's an expiration date on the bottom of my foot. I just can't read it.
Yep, on all of our feet. So let me ask you this, Brian, too. When I stop and thank your people and the other people that are in front of the abortion clinic praying and handing out literature very peacefully, and other people on the other side are screaming in their face. I mean, I've been to some of your events, and we're singing hymns, and the other people are just screaming with anger again. But we're the hateful people, of course. What is going on with that? What's your opinion?
Well, there's demonic. If you don't believe the devil exists, stop and start believing the truth. If God exists, then the devil exists. If heaven exists, hell exists. Mm-hmm. That's just basic Christian understanding of everything. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that. There are people who have given themselves over to being influenced by the demonic. There's no doubt about that. I see it way too often. I'm not talking about possession. That happens too, but I don't see that very often. I do see those who are influenced by, mm-hmm. by demonic. Also, abortion has become kind of, to use maybe a liturgical church's lingo here, is kind of the anti-sacrament for those who have turned their religion into the self. And so how dare I, you know, Planned Parenthood is almost a church to some people in the way they react and deal with it. So, you know, you're standing out there and they're claiming God doesn't exist and they think it's all mythology and all this other stuff, and yet all we're doing is praying. So if we're praying to something that doesn't exist, why do they get upset? The reality is they, even those that claim to be atheists, really know God exists.
Deep down. I used to be a part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a liberal pro-choice denomination that pays for abortions with offering dollars in the church's healthcare plan. That's one of the reasons I led my Lutheran church out of the ELCA into a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. But when you've got the church with people wearing collars and crosses telling you that the head bishop of the ELCA went to the Biden White House when Roe versus Wade was about to be overturned, she went there to support abortion. Mm-hmm. So everybody, you need to be careful what church you go to. Make sure you go into a church that believes thou shalt not kill. Make sure you go to a church that is not using, United Methodists, the Episcopalians, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA is very pro-choice on abortion. So just, I would find a church where you can give your offering dollars without killing people. So Brian, we've only got a minute left. I want people to support your ministry. So we're going to put on the screen here our guest, that's you, Brian Gibson, Pro-Life Ministries, and your website, if we could put that up too, is PLAM, Pro-Life Action Ministries, PLAM.org. There's your email, there's your telephone number. Real quick, you've got an event coming up on Ash Wednesday, February 18th. What is that?
Well, it's the beginning of 40 Days for Life Lent. So we do a 40 Days for Life event twice a year every year. So we do a fall campaign and we do a Lenten campaign. So that coincides with Ash Wednesday as the beginning. That's where we encourage people to go out and stand in prayer outside of the abortion facility. For us, it's in at St. Paul, the Planned Parenthood there. Mm-hmm. And we pray, we keep vigil for 40 days.
Okay.
Toward the end of it, we do a Jericho March the last 7 days, and then a week after we're done with the 40 Days for Life, we do our big annual Good Friday prayer vigil out there.
There you go. And everybody, God bless you, Brian, for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Everybody, go be involved. Pray for America, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.